From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, June 25th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Modern Pest Services, committed to offering eco-friendly pest control solutions. Learn more at modernpest.com.
Bath Iron Works has confirmed that an employee at the shipyard has recently tested positive for COVID-19. A company spokesperson says the worker was last on the job June 18th, and any employees who came in close contact with them have been notified. This is the fourth case of COVID-19 associated with the Bath shipyard, which employs some 6,800 workers. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden is encouraging Bath Iron Works to resume contract negotiations with workers who are striking. Responding to his campaign's urging, Bath Iron Works, in a statement, wrote that it offered a fair contract to workers and it does not have another offer to make. The Maine Center for Disease Control today is reporting 53 new cases of COVID-19. The number of deaths remains at 103. And Bangor School Superintendent Betsy Webb will be stepping down this fall. Webb has spent 12 years as superintendent. She says she'd been planning to retire since February. Jennifer Mitchell has details.
Webb's departure comes at a time of upheaval for the school district. Plans are still being worked out for the reopening in the fall amid COVID-19 concerns. And just this week, several Black students told the Bangor Daily News they'd experienced racism during their years at Bangor High School. They also said they'd been failed by faculty and administrators.
We need to know where the process broke down.
Webb says she learned of the students' experiences this week from the BDN article. She apologized to the students at a school committee meeting on Wednesday night and says she'll spend the next several months addressing their concerns. Racism and bullying, she says, have no place in school.
I would further say it has no place in our communities and in our country. It's going to take everyone working together to make sure those things don't happen. And, you know, I really hope that this can be a growth opportunity.
The Bangor School Committee has authorized an independent probe of the students' allegations. Webb says the school district is also reviewing curriculum and staffing and will require more training and examine ways that racism and harassment could be reported by students and staff. Meanwhile, Webb has accepted a teaching position at the University of Maine's Educational Leadership Department and will serve as executive director of the Penobscot River Educational Partnership starting in October. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
In weather tonight, partly cloudy with lows in the high 40s to the low 60s. Leaders of Maine's non-white communities are calling on Maine Governor Janet Mills and her administration to do more to protect people of color during the COVID-19 pandemic. Ed Morin has more.
According to the State Center for Disease Control, Black and African American people make up only 1.6% of Maine's total population, but they account for a quarter of COVID-19 cases in the state.
The COVID-19 pandemic has revealed Maine's racial disparities tangibly. You can feel it, you can touch it, you can see it.
Fatuma Hussein, who is originally from Somalia, is executive director of the Immigrant Resource Center of Maine. Hussein says since March 12th, various groups have approached the state on numerous occasions.
Hundreds of meetings, thousands of hours of time collectively asking and pleading for help. But our needs and voices remained unheard.
Hussein was one of several speakers at today's virtual press conference who called on the state to provide more money and other types of support to deal with immediate needs. Specifically, she wants to see the allocation of CARES Act funds, a program passed by Congress to protect the American people from the health and economic impacts of COVID-19. She says she also wants to set up a meeting with Governor Mills to have her hear what these communities have to say.
You don't walk in my life. You're not in my shoes. When I come to you and ask you for help, you must listen to me and you must take my words. You must make me the person who's empowered to take control of my destiny.
Some speakers at today's press conference noted that Black, African American, Latinx, and tribal Mainers may face heightened COVID-19 exposure because of their living and working situations.
A typical living arrangement looks like four families of four living in a three-bedroom apartment with the living room turned into an extra bedroom. And these are in eight-unit buildings.
Crystal Cron of Presente, Maine, says members of Latinx communities in southern Maine have been devastated by COVID-19.
There's no way to quarantine or isolate. High touch points are every surface in the building. If 128 people live in an eight-unit building, many of whom do not ever have access to healthcare and have unmanaged chronic conditions, and who also work in the same place and come into contact with nearly everyone else in the community who lives in the same type of living situation, does this not constitute a high-risk environment?
And Cron says most work long hours in close quarters in the lobster processing industry, and she says testing has not been widely available.
We call upon you, Janet Trafton Mills, governor of the state of Maine, to value Black lives, to value brown lives and tribal lives and immigrant lives, and declare racism a public health emergency throughout this great state.
Democratic Representative Craig Hickman of Winthrop is Maine's longest-serving Black legislator.
We drive the buses, we mop the hospital floors, we empty the bedpans, we take out the public's trash, we build houses and fix the roads. We grow and prepare and process and deliver our community's food, and we help heal our bodies and our spirits. We are essential, but we are not expendable. Our lives matter.
In an emailed response, the Maine Department of Health and Human Services says the disparities in Maine's healthcare system are unacceptable and that it is committed to making progress on those issues and continuing a constructive dialogue. The department says it has met regularly with stakeholders to address racial and ethnic disparities and has expanded those meetings to include community leaders and advocates for racial and ethnic groups, including people of color, New Mainers, and tribal leaders, and has more work to do. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ed Morin.
Maine hospitals and physicians are the latest to warn that they'll need financial help because of losses tied to the pandemic. Hospitals are asking the state for $100 million in assistance, while independent physicians are seeking $20 million. As Maine Hospital Association Vice President Jeffrey Austin told Maine Public's Erwin Gratz, the pandemic has hit hospital revenues on a number of fronts.
So at the time in March, when everyone realized that this was a big pandemic and something that's going to affect life, both the president and the governor directed hospitals to cease elective procedures. And elective procedures kind of gets a bad name. It sort of implies it's not necessary, but it's really the scheduling is what's elective. And that led to a drop in hospital activity and accordingly hospital revenue of about 50%. So literally overnight, the workload and the revenue coming in dropped by 50%. The idea being no one knew how many people were going to get COVID, and more importantly, how many were going to get hospitalized. So one of the goals was to sort of clear capacity. The second thing was some of the equipment necessary that we've all heard about, the PPE equipment, masks and so forth, needed to be preserved. So not use them for elective surgeries, instead preserve them for COVID. Thankfully, we didn't have the feared surge like New York City or Italy. But the work was still done, or the work was still delayed and not done, as the case may be, and revenues plummeted at hospitals and private medical practices across the state.
All right. As you know, not all hospitals are the same. Was there a particular kind, big or small, urban or rural, which has had a greater need?
Oddly, no. It's been one of the stories of this pandemic that not only within Maine, you know, there's a range of hospitals, large and small, urban and rural, as you said, but across the country, as we talked to our colleagues, the revenue picture was the same. It was about half everywhere. Where COVID was active was not consistent across the country or across the state. So Maine Medical Center in Portland has absorbed a lot of the cases in Maine and hospitals in New York and so on and so forth. But in terms of the drop in electives or the drop in non-emergent surgeries, and workload, that was really consistent across the state and across the country at around 50%.
Where do you think the state might get the money that you're seeking?
One, the Medicaid program has seen a lighter caseload and lighter expenditures. So they've actually saved some money from people not going to the hospital. It's not just Medicaid, obviously private payers and all the like, but to the extent workload was not coming in and we weren't receiving revenues, payers were not paying revenues. So we think there is some excess Medicaid capacity in the budget. The federal government increased its share of what it pays for Medicaid. That's one of the ways they provided relief. So in a few different ways, the Medicaid program should have some money to provide some relief. But then the other issue will be the $1.25 billion that the feds have provided to the state. Would that be available for some relief to hospitals? We think it will. And if it's not clear now, we're hopeful that in the next federal package, they'll make that clear that it can be used in this way.
Okay. So the hospitals are seeking, I just want to also be straight, the hospitals are asking for about $100 million?
Correct. And then the independent physicians who are not employed with hospitals, many are right now, but some are not, they're also seeking about $20 million because they've had a similar experience.
What could happen if the hospitals can't get access to this extra money?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. In any given year, out of Maine's 36 hospitals, a little over half are losing money. They're in the red. And several hospitals, I think eight, have been in the red for at least five consecutive years. Two are already trying to restructure in bankruptcy. So we need this relief to make sure that that does not grow.
Jeffrey Austin is a vice president with the Maine Hospital Association, which is seeking at the moment $100 million in financial aid from the state. Jeff, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
And that's Maine Public's Erwin Kratz. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about cooking during the pandemic. I'm Nora Flaherty.